You're listening to 95.7 KQWC, Webster City's Classic Hits. Now it's time to join sports director Quinn Douglas and former ESPN and NFL media executive John Marvel for Lynx Huddle at Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City.
95.7 FM.
It's Lynx Huddle here live from Morning Glory Coffee in downtown Webster City. And a happy Friday morning, everybody. Sports director Quinn Douglas coming to you live, joined here by our friend, the owner of Morning Glory Coffee, and a longtime executive and veteran of the sports media world, John Marvel, joins us. John, good morning, and thanks for taking the time to hang out with us this morning.
Good morning, Quinn. It's great to be here. I'm excited about Lynx Huddle. I think it's something that you know, we've thought about for a long time, you know, since taking over the shop, and it's something that I think the history of Webster City football is ingrained. I know that my father, class of 63, played for the Lynx. My uncle, class of 66, played for the Lynx, so it's something that's in the Marvel DNA, and we're excited to be here. I think it's something that you and I talked about for a while. At ESPN, we obviously pioneered College Game Day, and it became ingrained in what we did at the network, and I'd love to replicate what we're doing here and make it the high school football coaches show in Iowa.
And obviously, you know, we may not have a Lee Corso, but that takes time to germinate.
Not so fast,
Not so fast, my friend. Obviously, a big one this Saturday with Coach Corso's last game day. But here at the Lynx Huddle, we'll be joined by head coach Andy Brim of Webster City Football here in just a little bit. But obviously, you know, season getting in full swing, John. Last week with scrimmages, I made the trek up to Eagle Grove for the scrimmage. I know we talked about it a little bit beforehand. The big thing was no injuries.
Yeah, no injuries. I think that's the key. I think Coach will probably talk about it a little bit when he jumps in here. But, you know, the philosophy of scrimmages, and it's everywhere from, you know, the NFL to college to high school, is what do you use them for? And what do you do? And obviously, you know, do you tip your hand? Do you show your cards? I don't think any coach will do that. But what you want to do is get out of there without any anybody getting hurt. And that's the key. I think it's a good way to maybe mesh some of your players, your younger players especially. I think it's great for the lines too. I think the offensive lines and the defensive lines, I think that cohesiveness that you can get.
And obviously with Webster City's offensive philosophy, you know, cohesiveness with that offensive line is the number one key with the single wing.
They run the ball here.
Run the ball quite a bit here, as my dad always joked. It took, you know, when Coach Howard was running things and introduced the single wing, he said it took one Madrid guy to run an offense older than we were running. So running the wishbone, and Coach Howard obviously bringing the single wing. Coach Brim still keeping the single wing here, and from that scrimmage on Friday, definitely the second time around when the varsity offense was on the field, you definitely feel got into the groove of that scrimmage, and the defense from the start definitely looked like it was on. It was sharp.
I'm curious to hear, since you were there, your observations as the scrimmage went on. You know, especially some of the young players getting their first taste of it, what you saw.
Definitely saw, at least from the JV side, from Webster City, there are a couple JV guys that definitely stood out, guys that definitely have learned the process and understand the offense. And the varsity side, you know, like we talked about, you know, Aiden Hernicek last year kind of got thrown into the fire at spinnerback, now has a full offseason of work at that spinnerback spot. Jackson Griffith moving from that wingback spot a year ago to now being in the backfield. I thought Caleb Hansen as well. He looked pretty solid at that wingback spot, had a couple of nice physical runs, which, you know, the wingback spot doesn't always, you know, you always think of that as maybe kind of a home run hitter, but he brought quite a bit of physicality to it. And the offensive line, like we talked about, got better as the scrimmage went on, because, you know, like, and I'm sure Coach Brim will be the first to tell us that, you know, throughout the year, the offensive line will look better in October, or at least that's what they want, they shoot for. The offensive line will look better in October than they do in August. But as that scrimmage went on, the offensive line definitely got into the swing of things. We're getting a lot of push up front, and definitely, you know, by the end of the scrimmage, there was a big difference.
Yeah, and they are key, because, I mean, you don't want to go in raw and to the opener tonight. I think that, and you see that, you saw that in Ireland last week.
Yeah, Iowa State and Kansas State.
Both teams a little sloppy. You could blame the weather, but also I think, you know, first game jitters, first game, you know, who are we, what are we, you know, what's our philosophy, what are we going to be? And you saw it again last night with a couple of games. You saw Boise State, mm-hmm. you know, completely blown out. And, you know, a lot of that is, okay, it's the first game. What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. Who are we? Mm-hmm. That's always the key.
And coaches will always tell you, well, we'll always be the first to tell you, the most you learn about your football team is from week one to week two. That's where the biggest improvements are made. So no question about that. Well, we are live here at Morning Glory Compy here in Webster City, as we're going to be joined here by Coach Andy Brim here in just a couple of moments. Again, you guys can come on out. You still have a little bit of time to come on out here on this here on this Friday morning and come get some ready-to-make breakfast, coffee, you know, cold drinks, cold brew, so on and so forth. You can come out here for lunch, get ready-to-made lunch here at Morning Glory Compy. So we invite you folks to come on out and join us.
Made-to-order lunch right
yep.
now if you want.
Yeah, yeah,
so
if you want.
We give you the whole menu.
Hey, there's some people that work that second shift, so you never know who might be ready for lunch.
Shameless plug, 719 Des Moines Street.
So 719.
Come on down.
Yep, we are up and running. And, John, I'll have you hand the headset over to Coach Brim here. As, of course, Webster City football coming up tonight here on AM 1570 KZWC. Lynx are taking on the Iowa Falls All in the Cadets. First time in over a decade that almost a decade, that the Lynx and the Cadets have played on the gridiron. So I think a lot of folks are looking forward to a renewal of the North Central Conference rivalry tonight here on the gridiron as Coach Andy Brim joins me now. Coach, good morning. Thanks for coming out and joining us here this morning.
Yeah, you bet. I'm glad to be here. Thanks to you, Quinn, and to John of the Morning Glory for putting us on. I think this is a pretty cool deal, and any chance that we can take to kind of promote the kids that put in the hard work year-round and all of our athletes here in Webster City, I think I want to be a part of that, and I want to promote all the hard work that they do.
So we'll dive right in. Last time we talked to you was right, you know, at the start of when camps could start back in early August, and obviously a lot of time has passed since then. You know, a lot of practices have been put in. You know, obviously at the scrimmage last Friday against Eagle Grove, and when you look at, you know, from where your team started, and you guys had an idea of coming into the preseason. What are some things that have stood out to you about your football team, and some areas you feel like your team has really improved in here in the preseason practices?
Well, the last time we talked, you know, I was talking about you got to get the right pieces of the puzzle and the right places. So that's really what we try to do throughout the first few weeks. We have, you know, some guys coming back in some key positions. Aiden Hernicek will be our spin back to start with tonight. Got thrown into that with very minimal reps last year and did a great job at the end of the year for us there. Jackson Griffith will be back playing wing back where he played last year. But then you've got some new guys, too, that you got to figure out. Is that the right spot for them? Are you going to get the most out of them in that position? So I think through the first couple of weeks, you know, we've got the right pieces in the right place, and now it's just about, you know, timing, execution, and those types of things. So just to continue to get better every day. We've got a saying in our program that every day when you show up, you either get better or you get worse. You don't ever stay the same. So that's our goal, is we just try to be better when we leave than we were when we got there.
And that scrimmage was last Friday against Eagle Grove. And like we talked about beforehand, you've always said it's a pretty low-key type of scrimmage, you know, just getting reps, making sure guys don't get hurt. I know that's the most important thing to come out of that scrimmage is staying healthy. But in that scrimmage, you know, first time going up against someone with a different color jersey on, or at least a different name on the jersey if it's the same colors. But what did you take away from that scrimmage from your team, and what are some areas you felt like your team could work on here going into this first week?
Well, like you said, the key part is no injuries. It's a very controlled scrimmage. I think Coach Willard up in Eagle Grove does a fantastic job with his program and has a lot of the same philosophies and ideas that we have here in Webster City. There's a lot of different ways to do a scrimmage, but like I said, ours is very low-key, very controlled. It's more of like a joint practice, I guess, than a scrimmage. So, you know, you maybe don't get some of that situational work, especially with the special teams and stuff, that would probably be beneficial. So, you know, hindsight's 20/20. Maybe would have liked to have had some of that, and that's something that we could maybe do going forward. But, you know, like you said, and yeah, we both wear purple, so that makes things a little bit tough, but different colored helmets. So, you know, just having the opportunity to go up against somebody different than you've gone up against the previous weeks as you go through fall camp, you know, and just maybe somebody that doesn't know your scheme as much as your scout team who sees it every day and starts to learn some of the things about, you know, how they can blow up some of those plays from time to time. So, you know, offensive line, it's no secret here. We want to run the ball. We want to control the line of scrimmage. So anytime that I think we can get our offensive line reps to, you know, to go against somebody else, I think that's huge. And then, you know, timing of things with, you know, our spin back and how we hand off the ball in the backfield and stuff like that. So, you know, timing is key. So having an opportunity to practice those things a little bit. So.
And obviously, you talk about that offensive line. Got a number of guys coming back that at least got some varsity experience, and you've always said that is the, you know, the heartbeat of that offense. If the offensive line doesn't go, the offense doesn't go. And just when you look at that offensive line of the guys you have coming back or the guys you have now stepping in to bigger roles, what are some things that have really stood out about how far they have come really since, you know, you had that central camp right before practice start, really since central camp, since they put the pads on?
Right. So just like I said, better every day. If you can be a little bit better every day, then I think you're going to end up being where you want to be. And, you know, earlier when I was listening to you and John talk, you know, you want to be better in October than you are right now. But, you know, we want to be better next week than we are right now, too. So we've got Cole Norenberg coming back as our strong tackle. So Cole's a two-time All-District offensive lineman. He's a big kid. So really excited to see him perform for his senior year. Big, strong kid. He's got his bench press up to 445 pounds now, which is pretty unheard of at this level.
Yeah, that's incredible.
So I definitely think Cole's got potential to be maybe one of the best tackles in the state. So we're really excited to see that. The other key returner we've got up front, Eli Esslin, playing one of our guard spots. You know, the way that our offense works, if Eli is getting to where he needs to be, then the back is probably going to find the hole also. So it's always a bonus if you have a returner in that spot that he plays. And then we've got some new guys coming up front too. Zach Lars worked really hard to develop himself, get himself ready to play on the offensive line. John Wilwarding is another guy. John's going to be a junior just like Zach. So. You know, I really thought when John was a freshman that he had potential to become a great offensive lineman. He was always taking extra reps at practice and things like that. That's always stuck out to me. So I know that John's committed to getting better. And then on the offensive line, probably the guy that gets the least amount of credit that you don't ever notice is our center, just because of how we snap the ball and stuff. I'm really excited. Our center this year is going to be Nate Beaulieu. And we've got kind of a tradition in our program where sometimes you've got to wait your turn, and Nate's going to be a senior, and Nate's really never played in a varsity football game before. So I think that's going to be really cool to see tonight, and I'm excited to see Nate, and I'm just happy for Nate because he's put in the work and done all the stuff in the off season to give himself that opportunity.
And now we'll fast forward ahead here to tonight, Iowa Falls Alden. Like I mentioned as we were getting you settled in, first time in nearly a decade you have played Iowa Falls Alden. So that's a long time, and obviously things are a little bit different from the last time you guys played back in 2017. But when you've looked at this Iowa Falls Alden team, scouted them with you and the staff, and prepared your team for this Iowa Falls Alden team, what has stood out to you about Iowa Falls Alden, and what are areas you guys have to succeed in to pick up a victory tonight?
Well, I guess to start with your last question there, what do we have to do to pick up a victory? We've got to control the line of scrimmage. We've got to control the game by controlling the line of scrimmage. And then on the defensive side, you know, we've got to be in the right spots. We've got to be able to get lined up right. First games are tough, and especially when it's a team that you haven't played for several years. They've got a new coach since the last time we played over there. You know, you can look at Bound and you can look at the stats, but you really don't know who's going to be where or how they're going to utilize their players. So this one's a little bit different. You know, I don't feel like I've got as good of a read on Iowa Falls as maybe I have in years past, you know, when it's a team that you played the year before. So that's where I think we just got to worry about ourselves, take care of ourselves. We're going to do what we want to do on offense and try to control the line of scrimmage. And then, you know, like I mentioned on defense, we've got to get lined up right and be able to play fast and cut loose. And tackling is always a huge thing on defense in that first game. You know, we don't do a lot of live tackling in our practices. So, we do plenty of tackling drills and stuff, but actually taking a ball carrier to the ground, you know, that's a little bit different. So that's another big thing that I think we got out of the scrimmage with Eagle Grove, is just having our backs get tackled, and then on the flip side, us being able to tackle somebody.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you taking the time to come and join us this morning, and good luck tonight against Iowa Falls Alden, and we'll talk to you again next Friday morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That was Head Coach Andy Brim of the Webster City Lynx. You're joining us on our Lynx Huddle presented by Morning Glory Coffee here in Webster City. John Marvel will be joining us here again to help us wrap up the show. Again, come out to Morning Glory. They are open weekday 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Webster City, as they will be, as they serve a coffee, cold drinks. They've got made-to-order breakfast, made-to-order lunch as well. So come on out and join us here at Morning Glory program. Same time next week, 8:30 a.m. here on 95.7 FM. As, again, Webster City football coming up tonight here on AM 1570 KZWC. Lynx taking on Iowa Falls Alden. Jerry Claver on the call beginning at 7 o'clock. Well, John, if you want to join us again, I know we got a T-shirt giveaway to do at some point. But we'll have John take the headset back here. We'll have it. I know John wants to do a T-shirt giveaway, so we'll concoct a way to do that giveaway, whether it's me throwing, John throwing, or whatever it may be. John is there we go. Sometimes that power cord's a little finicky there. As we tell back in, looking ahead to tonight, to this Webster City and Iowa Falls Alden ball game. What are you looking for here for this Webster City team coming into tonight, and what they can do against Iowa Falls Alden?
Well, I think, Quinn, I think it's like any initial game. Look, there's going to be jitters. Yeah. There's going to be, you're hoping that your skill position players are on the same page immediately. But to me, it's going to come down to both lines of, okay, how well are they going to be prepared for Iowa Falls. I think that what's going to be interesting is, as you pointed out, it's the first time in many years that they've played. And, there used to be a big rivalry years and years ago.
Yep.
So I think you'll see a nice crowd come over on 20 and show up. But it's, first game under the lights for a lot of kids. First game under the lights for some of the units. And, again, I look for the line play first, see if they can put it together.
There we go. Now we're good.
Yeah, it's a puzzle, and you hope that right off the bat. But, looking last year's initial game, Fort Dodge, and they came out and special teams were – out of their mind.
Oh, absolutely.
And the offense looked great. And I think that you're hoping that you can see some of that. They're young, and you never know what you're going to get on Friday night in that initial game.
Well, I got some keys to the game that I was able to conjure up yesterday afternoon. Just three of them, staying true to the format of keys to the game. Number one, stay on schedule. And that, positive yards on first down. Coach Brim talked a lot about winning at the line of scrimmage. You win at the line of scrimmage, you're going to stay ahead of schedule a lot of time, especially with the offense that's so predicated on running the football, discipline, like that single wing offense. So from there, number two, get out to a fast start. I thought, definitely at times the offense looked a little clunky against Eagle Grove, especially in those first, that first 12-play set. Second time around when the varsity offense came back on the field, looked much improved. So Webster City can get out to a fast start. That can really put Iowa Falls Alden in a bit of a bind. They could really put their backs against the wall. You can go up 7-0, 14-0 pretty quickly. You can put an opponent, you know, into a corner pretty quickly. And number three, state in front of the ball carriers. Iowa Falls Alden talking to Coach Walking Stick. You'll hear that interview tonight before you hear the replay of our interview with Coach Brim. You know, he described Iowa Falls Alden's offense as an air raid type of offense. What does that mean? They want to stretch the field vertically. So if Webster City can do state in front of those receivers and make sure they're not allowing the big play over the top and also get pressure on the quarterback, which is something Webster City has excelled in over the last number of years, is getting pressure on the quarterback. If they can do that, I think the rest will take care of itself tonight. But the defense is definitely going to be interesting to see such a contrasting style of play when you counter the Webster City offense to what Iowa Falls Alden wants to do on offense.
Yeah, I think also, Quinn, you got to look at, one of the underrated things to look at in especially high school football, mm-hmm. especially in Iowa.
Yep.
You know, I was in Texas for many years, so
yep.
the home field advantage in Texas
yeah.
is a little different
yeah.
when you're playing before 35,000-40,000 people, mm-hmm. when you're actually playing some high school games, you know,
in stadiums that are better than college
yeah,
stadiums.
Exactly. So yeah. McAllen comes to mind,
yes.
which is $70 million
yeah.
football stadium.
There are some FCS stadiums that didn't cost that much.
But
a lot of FCS stadiums.
I will say for the level that we're at, and Webster City has always enjoyed a nice home field
Absolutely.
Advantage. The crowds usually are excellent.
I think back to that North Polk game a couple years ago, the Breyer Claver's interception sealed the game. Tell you what, the video of that, I mean, the noise kind of whited out there. It was so loud, it was it made that noise in your headset like wow.
Exactly. So I'm looking for that early on, in week one. I think definitely next week in week two with
Fort Dodge
coming to town.
It'll be a great atmosphere.
I think that you get an atmosphere, and so you take advantage of that, mm-hmm. get off to a quick start, and see where you can capitalize on that and go from there.
All right. And I think before we go, how do we want to do this T-shirt giveaway?
Well, I think what we're going to do is randomly give it to this week,
mm-hmm.
But next week, if you come in and if you can tell us next week,
mm-hmm.
And show up to the shop and you can tell mm-hmm. us next week the last time and the only time Webster City was in the final.
Oh, I know this. It's
okay.
easy for me.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it, but I know this.
You can't spoil it. So tell us, mm-hmm. when they were in the final, when, who they played,
yep.
and what the score, and you'll get a free Webster City Lynx Morning Glory T-shirt.
There you go.
Next week, so come into the shop next mm-hmm. week. We'll award it, and then
yep.
we'll give the next week's trivia question. But today we're going to randomly give it to somebody and go from there.
All right, awesome. So, John, thank you for joining us this morning. I'd say this was a pretty smashing success, if I say
so. I hope so.
At least on our end.
And remember, every Friday morning.
Yep, every Friday morning.
8:30 here at Morning Glory, 719 Des Moines Street here in Webster City. It's great to be with you. I think this is going to be something that we can establish a tradition and have everybody here.
I'm very excited about it. So thank you for joining us for Lynx Huddle at Morning Glory. Copy again, Webster City football tonight over on AM 1570 KZWC as Webster City takes on Iowa Falls. All in the kickoff, 7 o'clock, pregame, 6:15 over on KZWC. We'll take you back to normal programming here on KQWC.